Have you learned anything lately, or even over the course of your life? This is a question that has been playing on my mind recently. I can't decide. Have I actually learned anything in the course of my long life? The reason that this came to mind particularly at the moment is because last month I signed up for a course in French in the Alliance Française. And I've done this several times. I mean, I've been learning French my whole life. I started learning French when I was a teenager, the year I started secondary school. And even allowing for the fact that I have no natural talent for languages, you'd think in all of that time that I would have learned something, even something very small, but apparently not. The day of my first French lesson, about 3 weeks ago, the traffic was kind, so I was wandering along Nassau Street, heading towards the Alliance. And I was thinking, now, this is my new beginning in French, and I'm going to start as I mean to go on. I am going to order my coffee in French in the Café Max in the Alliance. My enthusiasm was very quickly dented. I like my coffee black, and could I remember the French word for black? Not a chance. And I said, I have been learning French for decades, not with very much enthusiasm and not with much talent, but surely the word for black ought to be something that would come to mind. And then I thought, oh, come on, something else, some other color. What other colors are there? White, yeah, blanc. Other colors in French, red, rouge. What is black? No idea. It wouldn't come. So I've been pondering this. How could the word, a simple word for black, not come to me in French? It's not fair. I mean, I should know this word. I'm sure I have come across this word time and time again. No chance. While these thoughts were burning a hole in my head, I heard the Reverend Mark Hutchison on one of his online events say, there is a Buddhist tradition that says the three great teachers are moon, thief, and tiger. Now, I mean, I have read a whole lot of Buddhist stuff and I've never come across that, moon, thief, and tiger. This was news to me, but nevertheless, I like the sound of moon, thief, and tiger. This is an interesting idea. So the words or my own thoughts on moon, thief, and tiger do not come from any Buddhist tradition. These are my own off on a tangent ideas. The moon is significant, I think, because it waxes and wanes continually. It reminds us that change is always happening. And last Sunday was the full moon, and the moon was magnificent last weekend. I'm sure it's every bit as magnificent now, but it's a different season. It reminds us that sometimes there is a good time to do something, or sometimes we have to make passes at things again. This is where the children's story is significant. Bruno Bethlehem, the psychiatrist, says that these kind of stories resonate with us because we know instinctively, deep in our psyches, in the non-verbal parts of our heads, that there are not four princes. There is only one. It's you and it's me. And then sometimes to understand something or to get the complete picture, we have to go back again and again and maybe yet again. And the important thing about this is that if we have to go back and look at the tree for four times, the earlier visits have not been wasted. We have gained something by going to the tree. Our knowledge has increased. We may think we're wasting our time, but maybe we're not. Maybe we see something else. And then, of course, to be wise, we have to go back and we have to sit in meditation or in contemplation and think about the experience. Make something of it. It's a bit like Wordsworth with his daffodils. He went out and he saw the daffodils. But He had to go back and contemplate them in his study and read through his sister Dorothy's diaries before the poem that we all know and love so well could be born, could come from his experience of seeing daffodils. It's like the tree. The tree had to be seen in all four seasons before it could make an impression, before we could know all about it, before we could put the pieces of the jigsaw together. Then we come to Thief. Now, here my prejudice is showing again. I have to admit that I'm not very interested in learning something from a thief, I think. And then I remember there's another Buddhist expression saying that everything we have is borrowed. Now, I was walking around our house and I was looking at some of the things. And I was thinking, if somebody was to come in and clear away some of the books, some of the old newspapers, some of the old clothes, they'd be doing me a favor. So maybe a thief would be a good thing if it came into my house. And then I thought, oh dear, any thief coming into my house would probably take the couch. I really like that couch. And then I thought, oh no, come on, really? Who is going to bother stealing your couch? Not a chance. Even if you leave the door open 24 hours a day for 2 weeks, nobody is going to take the couch. It's quite safe. Put that thought out of your head. The couch is safe. So too are your books, and even though it would be useful to have some of your clothes stolen, that's not going to happen either. And then I thought, but I like some of my clothes. And then I thought, the Pareto principle applies to my wardrobe. 80% of the time I wear 20% of the clothes. So if somebody came into my house, as long as he didn't actually take what I am wearing or any of the stuff that's in the cycle of laundry, it would be fine. I probably wouldn't even notice. What would make a difference in my life if it was stolen? And of course, the answer is quite clear. It's my phone. It's on flight mode, so it won't beep. But if my phone disappeared, my life would become really, really difficult. I remember the trauma of replacing the phone that I had before this, and the phone before that. My daughter laughed so hard when she came into my house one day and she saw that I was writing into a notebook. I had written all my contact numbers into a notebook because I thought, if all the information on my phone suddenly disappears, my life is going to be very small. And I'm going to have a really hard time replacing all these contact numbers. How am I going to know anything if I can't Google it? If nobody can phone me, I'll have nobody to talk to ever again. I would be so miserable. But now this is where it bites slightly for me. I looked at my phone and I thought, this is where I change into the thief. This is where I am the baddie. Because there is no environmentally friendly way of getting the minerals that are essential to the guts of the mobile phone. These minerals are mined by slave labor in environmentally very damaging ways. By owning a phone, I am an affected thief. And I don't like this feeling. And I'm not sure what I can do to offset the damage done to people and environments by me having this pretty amazing piece of kit in my pocket. This is a tough one. It's the same thing then. There was a report during the week that the marine environment around this country is degrading very badly. And let's be honest, this is partly my fault. I mean, I am gaining the benefits of the system that degrades the environment. I am stealing the marine environment from the generation that will come after me and possibly the one after that. This is perhaps why in all our ethical and religious precepts, we're always told, don't tell lies, don't steal. And I thought these would be quite easy things to fulfill. I mean, I don't go around taking things off of people, and I'm not in jail, obviously, so I mean, I haven't done anything that would be that far out of line, but still, my lifestyle, my possessions, perhaps amount to theft. It's a sobering thought, and it's a scary one. We'll move on to tiger. I think tiger is wonderful. Who cannot think that a tiger is an amazing beast? You see them in zoos, or you see pictures of them. A tiger is huge. So I think that we are naturally built to be afraid of tigers. Is there anything more frightening than an enormous beast with huge, powerful claws and really, really big teeth walking very quietly through the jungle, round the corner of the street, behind the bushes in the park? We're programmed to be terrified of the thought because our ancestors did have to fear the tiger. Blake was right when he wrote, "Tiger, tiger, burning bright, living in the forests of the night." We can all feel it almost on our breath. We don't know what we're afraid of, but this primeval fear kind of grips us. The difficulty we have now is that living in secure, safe, civilized society, our adrenaline, we still get adrenaline rushes. We still wake up in a sweat in the middle of the night, terrified of something. Our cortisol levels rise, but we have nothing to do with it. We can't run. I mean, you look stupid if you're running down the street and somebody says, What are you running from? And they say, "The tiger!" You'd be locked up, you'd be carted away. We have to find ways of dealing with the primeval stress that we no longer need. The alert system that sparks our nervous system, but then just lets us there in a state of high alert, and we need something else to do, or I do anyway, besides reaching for a piece of cake or something else equally useful. In conclusion, I'm going to return to my cup of coffee in Shea Max. I went into the cafe and I said bonjour to the barista, and I said, "I am really sorry, I can't remember how to order a coffee in French. So is it okay if I ask for a black coffee and a croissant in English?" And then he said, "Oh, thank God," he said, "I don't speak a word of French." And then I said, "What? Did you not learn any French in school?" I feel my mother's influence coming on. I was indignant. "Did you not learn any French in school?" And he looked at me and shook his head and said, "No," he said, "fortunately I did German." So I think the important thing is perhaps to make contact with the person, to have a cup of coffee, even if you can't speak the French. Then 2 hours later, 2.5 hours later, I was wandering up Kildare Street, having come out of my French lesson and been far too ashamed to ask the teacher, "What is the French for black?" when I remembered, it's noir. So I did. It's a pity it didn't come to me at the opportune moment. And then, to make matters worse, I remembered that in French culture, you do not ever need to ask for a black coffee. If you just ask for coffee, they will give you black coffee. You have to make a special effort and demand milk to get a white coffee. So, did I learn anything? Who knows? Maybe I'm a bit wiser, maybe I'm not, but I live in hope that someday I will know more than the word for black and white and red and French, and that I will be able to order something more exciting than coffee. Thank you.